Now, accountants are different from that.
Or what?
Accountants are different.
Well,
if they're in the Miami office, it's all right.
They're different in a lot of ways, right? So, but they have different rules and different things that apply to them. But we have the good old Texas rules. The but to your point, and the prior panel raised this great point. So that if one seller is going to get beach money and go to the beach, and another seller is going to get beach money eventually, but it's going to vest over time, and there are going to be a lot of hurdles that that person has to jump over to get that money. Can you represent both of those sellers in that transaction? And the way I usually look at it is, if one of the sellers or one of the parties that I'm purporting to represent could kill the deal, in other words, they're negotiating an acceptable deal it depends on the other party's ability to close the deal. I can't serve two masters, or I shouldn't serve two masters. So I can't represent you out to the best of my ability if another client might suffer because of that representation.
So, Brad, in that situation, if you have two shareholders, the buyer is going to want 100% of the shares, assuming the buyer does want 100% of the shares as opposed to just half. So it doesn't one shareholder always have a right to kill the deal?
Well, in theory, but in that instance, their interests are aligned. I mean, they do, but when you're negotiating for them, you're still, what's good for one goose, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right, in those situations. So what benefits one shareholder would ostensibly benefit the other. So their interests are kind of the same. But where you start getting different considerations,